Jeremiah 27. Chapters 27 and 28 have to do particularly with the prophet's symbolic indication of the servitude of all nations to Nebuchadnezzar for a long time. This was indicated by means of the yoke, whence a brief consideration of the figurative usage in the Bible seems to be desirable. Literally, the yoke was a bar of wood resting upon the necks of the animals and secured from slipping by means of loops or bands. In the author's younger days, the Australian wool used to come down to Ballarat, Victoria, from up country to what was then the railhead, by means of bullock teams, perhaps of 12 or 14 bullocks, and their yokes were the bars aforesaid and were secured by U-shaped iron loops, the slotted stems of which passed upwards through the bars and were secured with split pins. A long central chain passed from yoke to the wagon. Very heavy loads of wool were thus brought down to civilization. And this was only about 1870. The writer often pitied the poor, patient, working bullocks, which were often very cruelly treated, the bullock whip being a prodigious weapon capable of inflicting acute suffering. There is not much of a transition from the literal to the metaphorical when we read in Leviticus 26 of Israel's yoke in Egypt, which God broke from off him by the hand of Moses. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I've broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. As a slave people, Israel doubtless knew what the literal lash meant. And it was probably something of the sort that caused Moses to slay the Egyptian and hide him in the sand. But the word of God in Leviticus warned Israel that if they disobeyed God after so great a deliverance, they would again come under the yoke. And this was even more plainly declared in Deuteronomy 28. The Lord shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And this God did, both by the Babylonians and the Romans. The ritual significance of the yoke is apparent in the law of the red heifer, which Paul connects with Christ as the antitype in Hebrews 13. The law concerned the water of separation and purification for sin. Israel were to bring to Moses and Aaron a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Red is the colour of sin, though your sins be as scarlet, and Jesus was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin. The spotlessness indicated the perfect character of the Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And the never-yoked feature indicates his absolute freedom from the bondage of sin. Which of you convicteth me of sin? Asked Jesus. Physical, mental, and moral bondage to sin are all combined under the symbolism of the yoke upon the neck. Again, under the law of the expiation of an uncertain murder, an heifer which hath not been wrought with and which had not drawn in the yoke was used in sacrifice. It's in Deuteronomy 21. God knew all about the murder, but this was his provision for the purification of Israel. It was a very remarkable law, and in view of many present day uncertain murders, one is made to long for the time when the law shall go forth from Mount Zion once more, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Even the Philistines, when they returned the Ark of the Lord because of their plagues, provided two milch kine on which there came no yoke. Solomon made Israel's yoke grievous, and Rehoboam reasonably approached to lighten it, proposed to make it 10 times worse, with the result of losing the allegiance of 10 tribes of Israel out of the 12. Afterwards, Israel came under the yoke of the Gentiles, but Messiah will break this. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9. At last, O Israel, the burden of the Assyrian shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Isaiah 10. Then shall his yoke depart from off thee. Isaiah 14. As to the moral servitude of sin and the consequences, we see in Lamentations chapter 1, the yoke of my, that is Israel's, transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and are come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. As to the freedom of the service of Christ, think of his words in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the Authorized Version, this 27th chapter begins thus: In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord. But Jehoiakim here should properly be Zedekiah, as the margin of the Authorized Version suggests. And as the margin of the Revised Version points out, properly Zedekiah, as in some ancient authorities, see verses 3:13-20. In verse 3, the reigning king is named by God as Zedekiah, and in verse 12, the prophet himself names Zedekiah. And in verse 20, the captivity of Jeconiah is alluded to as a thing of the past. The historical outline of this troubled period is given in Kings and Chronicles. Josiah had 2 wives, Amutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, and Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. By Amutal, Josiah had 2 sons, Jehoahaz, or Shallum, and Mattaniah, called Zedekiah by Nebuchadnezzar. By Zebudah, he had Eliakim called Jehoiakim by Pharaoh Necho. The successive fates of these sons were as follows. Jehoahaz reigned only 3 months and was dethroned by Pharaoh Necho, who made Eliakim king and called him Jehoiakim. Jehoahaz died in Egypt. Eliakim, called Jehoiakim by Pharaoh Necho, reigned 11 years, 3 years tributary to Nebuchadnezzar, who took him captive to Babylon. Jehoiachin, Jeconiah, or Coniah, succeeded and reigned only 3 months. He was taken captive to Babylon in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar, who made Mattaniah king, changing his name to Zedekiah. In the 37th year of his captivity, he was kindly treated by evil Merodach. Through him is the line, the two Messiah. Mattaniah, called Zedekiah by Nebuchadnezzar, reigned 11 years. He was the last profane and wicked prince of Israel on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He was blinded and taken captive to Babylon. And with this catastrophe, the records of Kings and Chronicles come to an end. All this is involved in the allegorical performance of Jeremiah with his bonds and yokes. Thus saith the Lord, make thee bonds and yokes, or bands and bars, as the Revised Version has it. Put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of Ammon, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers, which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. The prophet was commanded by God to declare that the Lord God of Israel, the creator of the earth and of man and beast upon it, had given all these nations and beasts into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. Then Jeremiah, in the word of the Lord, warned the people not to listen to the voices of the false prophets. For, said he, they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and that ye should perish. And God promised that all those nations that did submit to Nebuchadnezzar should remain still in their own land. And then the prophet turned personally to the king of Judah. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why should ye die? And again he challenged the false prophets. I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. And then he turned to the priests and people with the same challenge. And here the false prophecy is quoted. Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon. Had this really been true, then, of course, Jeremiah himself would have been a liar in the matter of the prophecy of the 70 years captivity. But he turned on them, saying, if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. For God said, they should go, and there shall they be, until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place.